Ati, one knows. Tatvam, the truth. Bhagavat, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mahimnaha, of the greatness. Na, never. Cha, and. Anyaha, another. Ekaha, one. Api, although. Chidam, for a long period. Vichinva, speculating. Translation. My Lord, if one is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they may continue to study the Vedas for many years. So you can repeat, my Lord. If one is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. Purport, by his divine grace, by the servants of his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. This translation is quoted from, it is actually from Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita Majjhima Lila, chapter 6, text 84. Lord Krishna is very eager to bestow his mercy upon the conditioned living beings who are uselessly struggling with the Lord's illusory energy, Maya. The conditioned soul struggles for happiness through sense gratification and for knowledge through mental speculation. Both processes ultimately bring him to a morose and hopeless condition. If the conditioned soul surrenders to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna and thus acquires even a trace of his causeless mercy, the whole situation has changed, and the living entity can begin his real life of bliss and knowledge in Krishna consciousness. The text. Matapite deva patam bhujadvaya prasada leshanu grihita hevahi janati tatvam bhagavan mahimno nachanya he kopi chiram vichin van. So Omagana Tibhanda Shah Gananjana Shalakya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shigarveda Maha. So the common denominator between speculating, as is mentioned here, mental speculation or struggling for happiness through sense gratification is false pride. And one thinks that one can do it himself, either by adjusting the gross aspects of the material world, that's sense gratification, or by adjusting the subtle aspects, which is mental speculation. And actually, as long as one maintains that pride, then one cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And of course in the Bible it's mentioned that it is difficult for a rich man to go to heaven as a camel to pass through an eye of a needle. Of course God can pass a camel through an eye of a needle if he wants to. But anyway. So, in other words, not that being rich keeps one from going to the spiritual realm, but one's pride that arises through having material opulence. It's not that money, you know, it's not that if you have money, you can't go back to God, and therefore give us all your money so you can go back to God. I mean, that's a good argument. Good Sankirtan argument, isn't it? So, but the pride, and Queen Kunti, she also mentions this, that one has to become tvam akinchana gochara, devoid of any sort of pride or taking shelter of anything in this material world. And of course, she gives a list that everybody's familiar with. Janmaishwarya Shudasya Shibir Edimana Adapuma. She says that in this world, people are prideful of their birth, Janma, Aishwarya, and there's the money again, Aishwarya money, or opulence, material opulence. It's like people like to drive around, just like when I was young, I would drive around in a fancy sports car, and I was very proud. I would keep the top down, even if it was 30 degrees out. Anyway, that's a crazy thing, isn't it? And I would just wave to everybody. I'm just very, very proud. Or, like there's a political personality who we won't mention to keep the class pious, who bragged that so many people came to his inauguration when actually it wasn't true. Because he's very proud, prideful. So, Janmaishwarya Ashrutasha, and one also becomes very prideful of ability to speak nicely, or one is learned, or even there's other things one can be prideful of, you know, like, I'm a good singer, I'm a good mridanga player, right? So yeah, not talking about you, but just like, you see this, I mean, I actually see this in India, you know, there's some people play the mridanga, and it's like a peacock dance. Peacock, what do they say, proud as a peacock? Is that expression? I don't know if a peacock is actually proud. I do know that he has his feathers so he can attract the lady peacocks, the peahens. And then, guess what happens after he attracts the peahens and the mating season is over, guess what happens? What happens?
Sheds all his things.
The feathers go out. He disappears. He sheds the feathers, and then you can pick the feathers up to use in decoration for Krishna. Anyway, so there's pride in how one sings, how one plays the drum. There's pride in one's intelligence. There's one's expert in a computer. I mean, this pride comes before the fall. So this is really the point that's being made here, that one who speculates, or one who tries to enjoy the material world, is thinking, you know, I can do it, I'm a self-made man, or I pull myself up by my, does anyone know that expression?
Bootstraps.
Because they don't have bootstraps anymore. I haven't seen them for a while. Unless you're actually a fisherman, then they have bootstraps, you know, they wear these big boots in the water. And we don't fish. So one has to become free from this false prestige. Then, one is a fit recipient of the Lord's mercy. And of course, in the Shikshashika, it's also mentioned, Trinadapi Sumichina, Thurari Vasihishnana, Amanina Amanadena Kirtini Asadahari, that one has to be Amanina, free of false prestige. And of course, as I've often mentioned, that the methodology that I find most efficient to becoming free from false prestige is to offer respects to others. And of course, that's Lord Chaitanya's message too. If you offer respect and service to others, thinking oneself, Gopi Bharta Padakamala Dasa Dasa, dasana dasa. We're a servant of a servant of a servant. The Lord maintains the gopis of Vrindavan. And actually, Prabhupada said, the further removed you are, the more exalted it is. In other words, if one thinks, oh, I'm directly Krishna's servant, it's okay. Or if one thinks, I'm the personal assistant of my spiritual master, that's all right. If one thinks, I'm the assistant of the assistant of my spiritual master, it's a little better. And if one thinks I'm the assistant to 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 the assistant of the assistant of the assistant of the assistant of the assistant, I don't know how many times I can go on, that's even better. You know, because we're proud, even, you know, I mean, I was just listening to a memory yesterday.
Listen to what?
A memory, Srila Prabhupada's memory. A memory of one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples. And this disciple was serving Srila Prabhupada prasadam. And then after he served Srila Prabhupada prasadam, he was thinking, well, I want to take some remnants, which is all right. You know, it's not a bad thing. And so as soon as he walked out of Prabhupada's room, one sannyasi popped out of his room waiting for the prasadam plate to come out.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not pointing anyone out. And he said, I'm a sannyasi. Mahaprasadam is for me. This poor devotee, he had made special sweets for Srila Prabhupada. And he was thinking, you know, I just want to take Prabhupada's remnants. And he was devastated. Anyway, so... He probably heard that Prabhupada memory before. So the point is, you know, we're proud of our position. Proud that we're sannyasi, proud that we're temple president, proud of, what's that called? Proud that we have such a beautiful wife or a handsome husband. What's it called when one has it? Attractive wife.
A trophy wife.
A trophy wife. Yeah, that's right. That's what I was looking for. Bring your wife out. Like some political person we won't mention. The trophy wife. So anyway, one has to be free of this false prestige and just identify yourself as a servant of a servant of a servant of the Lord. And if we don't do that, then Krishna has all these nice ways to teach us this by the hard method of school of hard knocks. You know, we learn it after a while. You know, we learn it, oh, I can't even control my body anymore or know what's going on in my body. I was also listening to Prabhupada's class this morning. Prabhupada was talking about the limitations of our senses. And Prabhupada says, you're so proud of what you can see. And then he says, well, close your eyes and see if you can see your eyelids. It's a very funny example. The eyelids are so close to the eye, right?
Yeah.
Probably the closest thing to the eye. And you can't even see them if you close your eyes, right? You can't see your eyelids. So how can you understand anything about this material creation? Isn't it?
Yeah.
Like people say, oh, I haven't seen God. Well, you can't even see your eyelids. How can you see God? So if one has that humility that, Chanadapi Sunichena Turoibasi Ishuna, more tolerant, one becomes tolerant, more tolerant from the tree, which has all its initials carved in it, you know, like so-and-so loves so-and-so. They used to do that. Do they still do that?
Yeah.
I don't know, they carve, like, Krishna loves Radharani.
Yeah.
So the tree never complains. Or just like recently, we've had so many trees that have been cut down on the property, and I have not heard any of the trees complaining about it. Maybe they do. So more talent than the tree, and lower than the straw in the street. When we have that attitude, then we become the fit recipient of Krishna's mercy, and we can understand spiritual life. So anyway, so if one has that attitude, then even a little bit of the Lord's mercy gives one great understanding. Let me tell you, give an example, a story from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, how, because Lord Chaitanya is so merciful that even if one doesn't have that attitude, he makes an arrangement for you to have that attitude so that you can get his mercy. And this is an example, the story of the Buddhists who were attempting to defame Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had some philosophical discussion with this group of Buddhists. And the Buddhists, of course, are generally propounding a philosophy of atheism. I mean, this is not meant as a criticism, because the Buddhists have a lot of things that are correct. For example, they say the material world is suffering, right on. Suffering is caused by attachment, right on. Give up the attachment. Suffering goes away, right on. The fourth truth is the follow the eightfold path. You know, right living, right thinking. We define it a different way. But you know, basically, there's a lot of things that Buddhists have right. But they have one thing wrong. There's no God. Of course, that's the most important thing. So anyway, the Buddhists, they were attempting to defame Lord Chaitanya. They had a discussion with him, and Lord Chaitanya pretty much philosophically defeated them. Not pretty much, but completely philosophically defeated them, because they thought they would do something that would defame Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They gave him a plate of what they called Mahaprasadam. Now we know if someone's offered Mahaprasadam, they have to take it. That's an injunction. Even if they haven't done their morning duties yet, haven't taken a shower, just like the Selva Bhattacharya, he was offered Mahaprasadam by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and this is before he had even gotten out of bed. You know, Lord Chaitanya knocked on his door, and he said, "We got some Mahaprasada for you." And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya commented that Mahaprasada must be taken immediately. Of course, it's no injunction, or there is no injunction that one has to eat everything on the plate. One could just take a little bit out of the Mahaprasada. So anyway, so these Buddhists, they were offering so-called Mahaprasada to Lord Chaitanya, which was actually untouchable, probably had some meat in it or something like that. And what happened is Lord Chaitanya arranged for a big bird to pick up that plate before the plate reached Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and pick it up, take it in the air, and drop it on the head of the big or the chief Buddhist monk. And of course, he was knocked unconscious. And his followers, disciples, they actually thought, Guru Maharaj is in a coma. You know, what can we do? You know, maybe he's going to die. So they went to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They had become humble by that particular action of Lord Chaitanya, or arrangement by Lord Chaitanya. So they went to Lord Chaitanya and said, "What should we do?" And he said, "Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, in the ear of your Guru Maharaj." So Lord Chaitanya is so merciful, that's just like a glimpse or a speck of mercy was enough to give them Krishna consciousness. They became initiated. That was their initiation. No need of fire sacrifice or swaha or anything like that. So they were initiated. And then Lord Chaitanya instructed them to chant the mantra in the ear or the ears of their spiritual master. So that's what they did. And their spiritual master came back to consciousness and they all became devotees. Interesting. Our Lord Chaitanya brought them down to earth because they were so proud of their learning. We talk about Janmaishvarya Shrutasya. Shrutasya, one is proud of his learning. So Krishna brought them down to earth. And so you see, Lord Chaitanya is so kind. You know, there's many instances where Lord Chaitanya just gave Krishna consciousness out, and particularly in our case too, just gave it out so freely. That's why we chant this prayer. Namo Mahavidanaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gora to say to Maha. O Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you are the most munificent because you're giving away the highest thing, Krishna Prema. And not asking anything in return. Of course, you have all these statements in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, how the Panchatattva broke open the storehouse of love of God and distributed the contents freely when they found that no one was willing to pay the price, right? Interesting. Because Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita the price. Sarva Dharmam Parichasya. One has to surrender it. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just requires one thing, just like receptivity, humility. It's like with Jagai and Madai. Also, they were brought down to this standard of humility. Because they were very proud before. Very, very proud. Of course, in their pride, they were actually emulating the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra in their drunken state. But they were very proud. Madhai attacked Lord Nityananda. And what really brought them, of course, Jagai actually protected Lord Nityananda from being hit the second time, but really brought them to the standpoint of humility was when they saw the Sudarshan Chakra. You know, that's enough to scare the witch, the Jesus out of you, you know. You see Krishna coming at you with the Sudarshan Chakra. And so they surrendered. So really, there's so many stories like this where, or another story with Narottama Das Thakur, just one more story about this. There was this dacoit. His name was Chand Roy, and he was actually really like hurting people, probably killing people, stealing from people. I mean, very low class person. And one day he got very sick, and his father prayed to Narottama Das Thakur to save his son. And by Narottama Das Thakur's mercy, Chand Roy became saved. And then he accepted the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through Narottama Das Thakur. And he became such a great devotee that when he was in prison later on, and he was offered the opportunity to escape utilizing a Durga mantra, he refused to accept it. And he became such a great devotee, immersed in Krishna's holy name, that even when he was attacked by an elephant, because the king wanted to kill him, utilizing his wild elephant, even when he was attacked by an elephant, he actually grabbed the elephant's trunk and pulled the elephant's trunk off. So, but there's another instance of someone being brought down to earth, or so to speak, or brought to the point of humility by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so he could become a recipient of the Lord's mercy. So that's really the requirement if we want the Lord's mercy. So if we don't voluntarily embrace humility, then we will be forced to involuntarily embrace humility. And we don't know what that means. Of course, all of us, we have to get old, we get sick, we're taught by the actions of the material nature that we're powerless. And, you know, this brings us to the point of taking shelter of Krishna's holy names. Just like I had a message from one of my disciples in Europe, and she was, she's a teacher, and she was getting assessed in her teaching activities, not Krishna conscious teaching, but she works in a normal school. And her assessor was yelling and screaming at her. And she asked me, you know, what can I do in such a circumstance? And obviously you don't yell and scream back at your assessor, or else you're not going to be assessed very nicely. She said, how can I deal with this? And I explained that internally we should be chanting Krishna's name when we're put in a situation like that. Of course, not externally. You don't want to be in front of your assessor, business or whatever, going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. I remember we have one devotee in the who does some presentations of the GBC. He's not a GBC person. And whenever he's questioned by the GBC, you know, we have some doubts in what he's presenting. I'm not going to mention who it is. He's going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. I don't suggest doing that. But internally, we can always be taking shelter of Krishna's names when these difficulties come. You know, whenever there's an attack of Maya, whenever there's some physical, mental difficulty, in our minds, we should just be trained up to chant Krishna's name. And this chanting of Krishna's names in this mood of humility will actually give us the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the point. So any questions or any comments about anything we mentioned in class? I mean, there are other stories about Lord Chaitanya bringing people to the humble platform. Yeah.
You talked about persons who are brought to the ground and then they surrender.
Yeah.
But this is not in all cases.
That's right.
So is there some factor which determines that somebody surrenders?
Sometimes it takes being brought to the ground a few thousand times over a few thousand lifetimes before. Because sometimes people are subject to these things, they get angry at God. That's what you're mentioning, isn't it? It's not that everybody just starts chanting God's names and whatever. But we have to understand that's the purpose of the material miseries, the purpose of the material world, the purpose of the reverses that we suffer. You know, teleologically, that means the understanding of purposes. The purpose of this world is to bring us to the point of saying, I don't know if any of you know this expression, saying uncle. No, you probably don't know what that means. When I was young, we would sometimes be very cruel, and you take someone's, you know, we do this, didn't you?
Arm, yeah.
Take someone's arm and you twist it behind their back until they, what? You do that in Croatia also?
No, we don't say uncle.
What word did you?
We do twist hands.
What word did you use in Croatia?
Scream.
I surrender. And I mean, in the pit, that is very cruel. I'm not advocating, justifying the activity of young people doing that to each other, because young people could be very cruel to each other. However, that's the nature of this world. It brings us to the point, and if we don't say uncle, then it happens again. Until we understand Dukaliyama Shashvatam or Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Panavartino Arjuna, Mamu Bajit Pukantiya Punajamana Vijitik. That from the highest point to the lowest point, no matter what adjustment we make. You know, there are many people, I mean, recently, I'm not going to mention names, but there was a famous scientist who had ALS, you know, ALS. And it's the same thing Anadi has. That's Lou Gehrig's disease. And he was completely confined to a wheelchair and everything like that, but still he didn't become God conscious. So, it's not always the case that each and every time that one experiences misery in this world, they actually decide to take shelter of God. But it so may take many lifetimes, because they're thinking that there's some other remedial measure. As long as we think we can attain knowledge, or we can understand even the Vedas, that's what's mentioned here in this purport too. And we hear in the verse, actually it's mentioned in the verse, that, let's see, what is that verse? Anyway, that one cannot understand the Vedas simply by mental speculation. Tarko pratishtha shrutinam vibhina. The Vedas, as we mentioned several classes ago, the Vedas are multi-branched, so one cannot understand. Vedeshu durlabham, alp durlabham atmabhakto. That's from the Brahma. That verse is from the Brahma Samhita. That one cannot understand the Vedas, even by studying the Vedas, even if one's an expert Vedic scholar. So ultimately, we have to come to the point of throwing up our hands and just saying, hey, Govinda. You know, a typical example in that regard is Draupadi in the gambling match, where she was attempting to defend herself, to hold on to her clothes against Dushyasham. And ultimately, when she came to the point of what? Saying, hey, Govinda, which is what Krishna wanted. In other words, Krishna arranged that whole scenario. You understand? Krishna reigned. Nothing happens. Not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyway, yes, it's not that everybody says, I surrender, oh God, take me away. No. But it takes some time. Yes.
Sounds like that's leading back into what you had said about the modes of ignorance and trying to enjoy separately, even the enjoying the suffering separately, or somehow just separate from Krishna, just separation, purposeful.
Yeah, we're not seeing Krishna everywhere and everything. Actually, Krishna conscious standpoint, one sees that not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's a spiritualist viewpoint. So if something happens, there's a reason for it. If something happens to me, the reason is that Krishna is trying to bring me closer through some means. Okay, on that happy note...